Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 30, studying Mark chapter 2. As we begin, these reminders for all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. You will also find that series featured at our Facebook page, facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of the second chapter of Mark. Remember, we are overviewing the chapter first this week, and then, as time allows later in the week, get into our keyword studies. Here's a brief outline of what we are studying in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus in Capernaum, healing and forgiving a paralytic. Verses 13 through 17. Jesus in Galilee, the call of Matthew, also known as Levi. Verses 18 through 22. Jesus was challenged about fasting, and verses 19 through 28, Jesus was challenged about Sabbath traditions. In our last broadcast, we were in the midst of discussing the second segment of our outline, Mark 2, verses 13 through 17, Jesus in Galilee, the call of Matthew/Levi. We just completed our discussion of chapter 2, verse 14, and we are ready to start chapter 2, verse 15. Without explaining the transition, that is, the specific action that must have taken place between verse 14 and verse 15, Mark simply continues his narrative by telling us what took place while Jesus was dining in Levi's house. Jesus was there, and Levi/Matthew was there, but the text also informs us that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. In verse 16, the scribes and the Pharisees saw Jesus eating with the tax collectors and sinners, thus prompting them to ask Jesus' disciples this question: how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? The Pharisees, rightly so, were concerned about sin. It's never wrong to be concerned about sin, but the Pharisees' concern about sin was more about distancing themselves from sinners, as if, by their isolationist stance, by their keeping at a safe distance policy, they became and they remained less sinful than others. There's a distinct condescending attitude reflected in their comments in this passage. The unstated premise appears to be, we are not only concerned about sin, we keep our distance from sin. And we not only keep our distance from sin, we keep our distance from sinners. A reminder, just in case we have forgotten, Bauer says this concerning the meaning of the term Pharisee. The Semitic words mean the separated ones, separatists. Take notice of that. The Pharisees assumed that because they were physically separated, they were spiritually superior. From their perspective, Jesus was not living up to their separatist mindset, and thus they viewed Jesus with suspicion. They seemed to think no faithful Jew, like us, would dare associate with tax collectors and other sinners. Thus Jesus, because he did what they would never do, was not like them, which meant that from their perspective, he, Jesus, was not faithful. And if Jesus was not faithful, he certainly could not be the Son of God. All of this assumes, of course, that the way they viewed the law of Moses was the only way to view the law. There was, as Josephus, himself a Pharisee, attests, the belief that the Pharisees were to be regarded as the most accurate interpreters of the law. And if, and yes, that's a very big if that's what they were, then Jesus was wrong to eat with Matthew and other sinners. We have noted this text before, but it's fitting to mention it again. The general attitude of the Pharisees comes across quite clearly in this text, Luke chapter 18, verse 11. That verse reads, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector.'" In that context, Jesus spoke via a parable about two men who went up to the temple to pray, verse 10 of Luke 18. The context tells us that Jesus directed this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, verse 9. That, in context, would have been the Pharisees. The second man in the parable was identified as a tax collector, verse 11. Note carefully the attitude that's depicted in that prayer. We noted only part of it earlier, so we cite the rest of the prayer here. "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." There's nothing wrong with thanking God for his blessings, both physical and spiritual. We are expected to do just that. But what the Pharisee in the parable thanked God for was a bit unusual. He did not thank God for food, or for clothing, or for shelter, or health, or any physical thing. He did not thank God for grace, or mercy, or forgiveness, or wisdom, or any spiritual thing. The Pharisee in the parable thanked God that he was not like other men. That's an interesting thing to be thankful for. Yes, it's possible to be thankful that we are not facing the physical or spiritual challenges that others might be facing. A child was injured in an accident, for example, and we might quickly express thanks to God that our child was not. There's nothing really wrong with that. A couple entangled in divorce proceedings might prompt you to be thankful to God that you and your spouse are doing rather well. There's nothing really wrong with that either. In both of these cases, though, it would be better not just to be thankful for your child and for your marriage, but also to pray for the physical and the spiritual welfare of both the injured child and the struggling couple. The problem with the Pharisee's prayer in Luke 18, there appears to be a strong disconnect between the Pharisee and the tax collector, a disconnect spiritually, a disconnect in how each viewed themselves, a disconnect in how each viewed themselves in the eyes of God. Unlike the Pharisee's thankfulness that he was not like other men, Isaiah the prophet realized that he was in the same boat as other men. Standing before a holy God, Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." That's Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Rather than thanking God that he, Isaiah, was not like other men, Isaiah saw himself as every bit like other men. Isaiah was a sinner in the midst of other sinners. There was no disconnect on Isaiah's part. He was exactly where everyone else was spiritually. He was lost. He was undone. He was a dead man before a holy God. The Pharisee in the parable, like many of the Pharisees in real life, did not just view themselves as better off than others. They seemed to view themselves as better than others. There are at least two things that we want to emphasize about this passage. First, Jesus, who truly was better than others, did not consider it wrong or sinful or inappropriate to associate with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus' association with them in the context of Mark chapter 2, eating a meal with them, did not constitute an endorsement of any error, either in principle or in practice, that the tax collectors and the sinners were involved in. That's not the way the Pharisees viewed things, though. Jesus' position, summed up best in verse 16, was this: those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Generally speaking, we go to the doctor when we do not feel well. If we are feeling well, as Jesus expressed it, we have no need of a physician. Jesus, of course, was not just talking about medical doctors and physical health. Jesus used doctors and wellness as an image, as an analogy, to parallel and thus address spiritual health and the need for a spiritual physician. The Pharisee in the parable of Luke chapter 18 assumed that his spiritual health was where it needed to be. Thus, he did not petition God to be forgiven of his sins. He did, however, appear to brag to God in prayer about all of the good things that he did. Those good things were, incidentally, the outward, ostentatious things that Jesus repeatedly warned against in the Sermon on the Mount. Though it's never wrong to fast, and it's never wrong to give, it's always wrong to assume that those physical acts by themselves actually cleanse you from sin and thus allow you to stand justified before God. On the other hand, the tax collector in the parable of Luke 18 did not just assume, he was very much aware that his spiritual health was not where it needed to be. Here's how Jesus presented him in that parable. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector sought God's mercy. As a spiritually unhealthy person, the tax collector needed the grace and the mercy and the redemption of and from the great physician. We do not want to detract from this text, but a quick reminder here. The Pharisee in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, the one who saw nothing but sin in the woman who anointed Jesus, seemed to be totally oblivious of his own sins. In that context, Jesus' parable about the forgiveness of debts of varying degrees highlighted his faulty perception. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 2. This reminder as we close: to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.